Welcome back to Coast AM. This is Lisa Gar. So, would you like to live forever? And what does that really mean? Think about it. What does it mean to live healthy past 1,000 years old? Would you like to do that? Well, Bill Andrews would. He's a scientist, he's an athlete, he's an amazing athlete, and he's the CEO of Sierra Sciences, where Bill is committed to curing aging. And he's pushing the envelope. He really wants to extend human longevity using regenerative medicine. We're going to talk all about that tonight when we come back with my guest, Bill Andrews, whose motto is live forever or die trying. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is Lisa Gar, and I'm excited about this next topic. It's a topic I love. It's about health, basically, is what we're talking about. I saw a movie called The Immortalists. And it comes out next month. And it's about two scientists that are struggling to discover medical breakthroughs to create eternal youth for real. It brings up so many questions, this movie, about why you would want to live forever. And just because we can, does that mean that we should? And if you did live forever, what would that mean? I mean, would you suffer the loss of more and more loved ones who weren't in that same program? Or what would it be like if you could really never suffer from the effects of aging? Joining me is Bill Andrews. He's a scientist, athlete, CEO of Sierra Sciences, and he is joining us to talk about why someone would want to live forever and, most importantly, how. Welcome to the show, Bill. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Lisa. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. So, let's talk about the human lifespan. I mean, right now, what is the average age expectancy? Probably 90, 80, 90?
Well, the average is just under 80 right now.
Under 80.
But we have this theoretical maximum of about 125.
Theoretical. So does that mean that there are a large amount of people living in that 110 plus age range?
Yeah, they're called super centenarians. We cut, I think something like 1,000 right now in the world that have lived that long. But only two people have exceeded 120. The longest was a woman named Jeanne Calment in France, who lived to be 122. But nobody's actually reached 125 in documented history.
So when does the body actually then begin to break down and, quote, age as we know it? When do the cells actually start to cause more degeneration than regeneration?
Okay, well, I can say it starts breaking down from the day you're conceived, but when it starts actually having more degeneration than regeneration, boy, I would say that's probably, I could only guess, but I know that development pretty much stops at about age 24. People are fully developed by 24,
Wow.
and after that, all you do is age.
Wow, after 24, you just start to break down. Now, this brings us to the conversation here about telomeres. Can you tell us what the discovery was about telomeres and anti-aging?
Well, there's a series of new discoveries. I guess instead of going through all of them, a key one was the discovery that the telomeres shorten as you age, and telomeres are things found at the very tips of your chromosomes. The chromosomes are where your genes are, that give you your hair color and eye color and stuff. And your genes are organized on this long molecule. It's like a long string of beads called DNA. And it's like a long shoelace. And if you think about the caps on your shoelaces, that's equivalent to the telomeres on your chromosomes. And what we have discovered is that as you age, every time your cells divide, let's say, every time your cells divide, every single time, the telomeres get a little bit shorter. And so it's a counting mechanism. And since some cells in your body, especially like your immune cells and stuff like that, are dividing all the time, this becomes a very accurate clock to measure your age. So people can actually take blood from you, measure the length of your telomeres, and tell you how old you are. And more importantly, they can tell you how long it'll be before you die of old age.
Really? Wow.
We know that when you're first born, when you're first conceived, your telomeres are about 15,000 bases or beads. Let's say their beads are called bases, 15,000 bases in length. And then there's so much cell division from the day you're conceived to the day you're born that your telomeres will shorten down to 10,000 bases just as soon as you're born.
Oh, my goodness.
And they shorten even more. And when they get down to 5,000 bases, your cells lose the ability to function and you die of old age. And
so throughout our lifetime, it goes from 15,000 to 5,000.
Yes.
And 5,000 is close to death.
Yes. When it gets to cell 5,000, it's the same as if the caps on your shoelaces got really short and your shoelaces start falling apart.
And you can't
have your chromosomes.
Can't tie them any longer. Now, what causes these telomeres to shorten?
There's two things that cause this. One is what I call just basal level telomere shortening. This is really, it's almost like a lack of a cause because our cells, every time our cells divide, the new daughter cells have to have the identical components as the parent cells. So everything inside the cell has to be duplicated. And that includes the DNA molecule where our genes are. But it turns out every time a DNA molecule is duplicated, the cell lacks the ability to duplicate the very tips. So as a result, the new DNA is a little shorter than the old DNA. And so that's I call that basal level telomere shortening. It's not, nothing's chewing it away there. It's just the lack of the ability of the cell to actually duplicate the very ends.
It's like a recording. If you record it too many times, you basically lose the quality of the recording, just to give it another analogy, right?
Except that it's only at the tips. I kind of like think of an analogy of like laying a brick wall, you know, laying a new row of bricks on a brick wall. If you're standing on top of the wall and you're walking backward and laying a brick on the place where you were stepping last and keep stepping back and laying another brick and stepping back and laying another brick, when you get to the end of the wall, you step back and you fall off.
Uh-huh.
And leave the last brick unplaced. The new row of bricks is shorter than the previous one.
I see.
So the lack of that. But there's also another thing that causes telomere shortening, and that's what I call accelerated telomere shortening. And that's almost anything related to an unhealthy lifestyle. Anything that induces inflammation or free radicals will actually specifically cleave your telomeres and cause them to accelerate. They can shorten at an accelerated rate. So if anybody wants to figure out how to age faster, we've already figured that out.
Stress, more stress, and more stress.
Smoking, obesity, lots of different things.
Cortisol actually can that shorten telomeres as well?
It's anything associated with stress.
Okay.
Related to it.
Now, so you are an ultra marathon runner, so meaning you run 100-mile races at a time, right?
Yes, I just did one 5 days ago.
You ran 100 miles in that day period?
Yes, and pretty much one day. Usually I shoot for about 20 to 24 hours, but sometimes it takes me up to like 27 hours.
An entire 24-hour period you were running?
Yes.
Amazing. And you do this how often, Bill?
I try to do them once a month. It's not the same as running marathons, which are really, really fast.
Faster, yeah.
Break you down. But these ones, you know, they're fun backpacking trips as far as I'm concerned. You just do them a little faster.
So you really love them.
Oh, I love them. I'm addicted to the adventure more than anything else. It's like if I miss a month, I go into withdrawals.
Oh, my goodness. So when you are, do these races, quote unquote, cause any oxidative stress in your body?
Yes, they do, and it's mostly been studied in mice. You put a mouse on a treadmill, you're going to induce a lot of oxidative stress, and the mouse is going to actually die younger than its friends, its other mice the same age that didn't do this. But humans are not mice. We're very different. Humans have 10 times the level of protection, what are called antioxidants, in our system, and so we are less sensitive to stress. But humans also have this other phenomenal thing happen, and that's when we induce free radical production from stress, we actually boost our antioxidant levels even higher. And studies have shown that the net oxidative stress is less. And so now there's been several studies showing that the more intense your endurance, the longer your telomeres. So instead of getting accelerated telomere shortening, you get a shorter rate of telomere shortening. Ultra-marathon runners have been shown to have the longest telomeres.
Really?
Running doesn't lengthen your telomeres, but it decreases the rate of that accelerated telomere shortening a lot. Ultra-marathon runners have now been published in at least two papers showing that in scientifically peer-reviewed journal articles, showing that they have the longest telomeres of any endurance athlete, and that the marathon runners have longer telomeres than 10K runners, and 10K runners have longer telomeres than sedentary people. And this is an amazing finding because, you know, 10 years ago, everybody believed that all this running was bad for you, but it's actually now turning out to be good.
Interesting. Now, what is the mechanism in which you measure the ends of your telomeres? What type of test shows that?
There's about six different tests that are available at the research level. Some of them become commercial. Some of them aren't very accurate. It's like pretty hard to get a consistent result, but there's one place where I recommend people get their telomeres length measured, and that's a company called LifeLength, LifeLength. They're in Spain, but if you go to their website, which is www.lifelength.com, and sign up, they'll send you a kit. You get a blood draw, send it back to them, and they will tell you the length of your telomeres.
Oh, wow. So it's pretty accurate amongst all of them.
It's as accurate as you can get so far. Yeah, I think LifeLength is pretty meaningful that if you get the result, you can actually believe that it means something.
Now, okay, so, and there's a lot of different anti-aging medical centers on the rise, and they do charge a pretty penny to find out what your biological age is and what your age is and how long your life expectancy is. But why your interest in this, Bill? Why are you so interested in curing aging and living forever?
Well, several reasons. Let me go for the personal one. I just love living. I can't imagine ever not wanting to live as long as I'm healthy. Okay, and so the goal, remember, here isn't, we're not trying to extend lifespan at the expense of health span. We're trying to extend health span more than lifespan. And that, the reason why humans don't, their average age is, used to be 45, like let's say just a little over 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it's now like 80, almost 80, is because of lots of things that have like solved a lot of the problems. Like the, let's say coronary bypass surgery, chemotherapy, antibiotics, vaccines, even better sewage systems, refrigeration, on and on and on. Eyeglasses, all these things have extended human lifespan, whereas people would have died before these things. Now they live longer. The result of this is that we are accumulating a lot of old people in the world right now. And, you know, in the next 20 years, we're going to have something called the silver tsunami, because the world is going to be so dominated by elderly people that I think the number one industry, the number one business is going to be care for the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a real big problem, because getting old is actually pretty miserable. One of the best examples where you can see this, if anybody travels as much as I do, over the last several years, I've been seeing more and more wheelchairs at airports when people are getting on planes. It's because we're collecting a lot of older people, and you know, these are the people that are still mobile enough that they can get around in a wheelchair, but there are a lot of people in the world right now that are completely unable to take care of themselves. They need assisted care. They're suffering. They're miserable. And you don't see these people. They're the hidden people. And this is what I want to see stop. This is the misery of all this stuff, is we've got to find a way to stop this. And that's why we need a way to extend the health span more than the lifespan. And the research that we're doing, I think, is one of the first ways that actually will accomplish this.
Is to enable someone to live healthy. Let's start with the healthy part of it. Because when you age, yes, memory loss, Alzheimer's, you've got joint and pain issues, arthritis, cancers, blindness, macular degeneration, all of these types of things happen when the body starts to break down at a faster rate than it can regenerate. So your research primarily has to do with rebuilding the cell so that you can have a healthier life. Is that correct? I mean, yes. Set aside the living forever part.
Yes, that's exactly it. We're gonna live longer because we're living healthier.
Do you think, or and you personally, would you like to live healthier or live forever?
Oh, healthier.
Healthier.
I always say, what's the point of living a long time if you're not living? It's like, we got to be healthy. I want everybody to be playing tennis, dancing, having the time of their lives when they're 150 plus years old.
Well, you have found a way to possibly do this. And you and the other scientists in the movie, The Immortalists, Aubrey de Grey, can you talk about some of the discoveries that you found, and specifically Aubrey found, in terms of the enzyme that cleans the garbage out of the cells? What would do that? What type of enzyme does that? And why is that effective?
Aubrey hasn't found that enzyme yet.
Oh, he hasn't. Okay.
No, he's searching for it. He's found, I think, some candidates for it, but it's a really good idea. It's you know, when our cells get older, it starts accumulating a lot of junk, and finding some way of getting rid of this junk is a good way to possibly extend human lifespan. Now, that's not my approach. My approach is to actually lengthen the telomeres, and hopefully this junk will never, ever begin to be there to begin with. And I'm also hoping that when we lengthen the telomeres, if there is already junk, the cells might clean up that junk, possibly just by cell division and essentially just diluting away that junk.
So it wouldn't replicate the unhealthy cells. It would replicate in a healthy cell.
Well, it wouldn't replicate the unhealthy insides of the cell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like I was saying, that every time a cell divides, the DNA and other things in the cell have to be duplicated. But the junk that builds up wouldn't be duplicated. And so the new cell, when they divide, the cells would have half that junk. And then when those cells divide, they would have even half of that. And this is completely theoretical because we haven't gotten to the point where we have some drug that we can apply to cells that have accumulated junk and see what happens.
So inside, now your approach here is to find something that lengthens the telomeres rather than stopping the shortening. You want to actually go towards lengthening the telomeres at the end of the chromosomes. What would do that? What would turn that gene on to actually lengthen those cells?
But it's actually, telomeres aren't a gene, but there is actually a gene that we have that is called telomerase, and that gene is only active in our reproductive cells. And so in our reproductive cells, when those cells divide, the telomeres don't get shorter. And as a result, they divide and divide and divide and stay long. And this is why our children are born with telomeres as long as we have, if not longer. And this has been since the beginning of humankind. These cells have been dividing and dividing and dividing, going from one generation to the next, without having any signs of telomere shortening, no signs of aging. So it's because our reproductive cells produce this enzyme telomerase. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to put this telomerase enzyme into all the cells of our body. And I'm trying to do it by inducing the gene that exists in every one of our cells that's just turned off for some reason. And actually, there's a lot of good theories on why it's turned off, and that could take hours to explain that one. But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to turn on this enzyme telomerase, the gene for this enzyme telomerase, in all of the cells of our body and lengthen the telomeres.
So you can't extract the, I don't know how this works, but could you extract the telomerase from the cell and re-inject it into the body, which we don't have enough. We're going to come back from the break and answer that question, if you don't mind. Bill Andrews is my guest. This is Lisa Garra, and we'll be right back. Gotta love classic rock. You just do. I love in the middle of the night, we're listening to the classic rock and just rocking out. It's a good feeling. All right, so we're talking about living forever. I mean, really think about it. Would you want to do that? I mean, if you did live forever, a couple of things. Would you stay married to the same person? Would you suffer the loss of more loved ones than you could handle. And if everyone really did live forever, we would all have to live in space because this planet would be too full. So there's a lot of reasons not to. However, what if you could never suffer the effects of aging or the body breaking down from cancers or macular degeneration or arthritis and all of those debilitating aging processes that happen to the body? What if you could really be free of all of that and then do what Bill does, run ultra marathons at 62? Keep going, Bill. So we are going to come back and find out more about the science behind this, about the telomerase and that enzyme that actually can extend the telomeres at the end of the chromosomes there. So we will be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is scientist Bill Andrews, who is the CEO of Sierra Sciences, and that's where he's learning and working with regenerative medicine. And I had asked you before the break, Bill, is there a possibility of being able to extract this telomerase from the gene, I mean, from the cell, and re-inject it into a different cell? Is that a possibility, like you would do with stem cells, maybe?
The problem is that telomerase is such a big molecule that if we were to inject it into our blood or skin or whatever, it wouldn't get inside of our cells. And it's, in order for it to function, it's got to be inside the cells, and in order to get access to the DNA and actually bind to the tips of the DNA and lengthen it. So it's actually too big. Now, we are, nevertheless, we are working on ways of actually finding ways of having the cells engulf, let's say, the telomerase enzyme. But we're not certain that that's actually going to work. The better approach is to come up with some type of a chemical or drug that will actually be very small, get inside the cells, and actually induce the production of telomerase inside the cells. So instead of having it inserted into cells, have the cells produce it themselves inside of themselves.
How many chemicals have you tested so far that will actually lengthen a telomere? How many have you tried?
Over 300,000.
That's where do you find these chemicals, and what are they made of?
Well, it's actually, there's big business in doing this. A lot of different research areas, medical research areas. There are companies around the world, especially like in Russia and places like that, that actually sell what they call libraries. And so you just order like 100,000 different chemicals.
Wow.
And they come shipped to you in like little drops inside of like what are called microtiter dishes. And there'll be like essentially a microtiter dish is something like 96 different test tubes all grouped together. And there'll be a different chemical in each one of these small little test tubes. And then to test them, we use robots. We have a human could never test 300,000 different chemicals without making all kinds of errors.
Mm, definitely.
So we have robots that go through and methodically test each chemical. Something, you know, they typically would test them 96 at a time, looking for any that will actually work.
And when you see, are these man-made compounds? Are they herbal compounds? And what types of chemicals have gotten close to being able to produce the telomerase?
Well, both.
Telomerase, sorry.
We've tested a lot of synthetic compounds. So these companies actually have chemists that will synthesize the compounds. Chemicals, but we've also been looking at natural products. The advantage of natural products is that they don't require FDA approval since they're already approved by the FDA, but they're just essentially plants that we eat all the time and ground up and made into a powder, and then we kind of add it to the cells.
A concentrated form.
Yes. And we have found chemicals and natural products now, when added to human cells grown in a petri dish, will cause those cells to start producing telomerase.
Wow. Okay, so this, when you can actually turn that gene on, so that actually would cause the cell to become immortal, right? That turning on that gene would cause each human cell to be able to become
It depends on how much you turn the gene on. Okay, it's like genes essentially have something like a light switch next to each of them. And so the gene that produces telomerase has this light switch, and it's turned off in all of our cells, except our reproductive cells. But these chemicals will get in and turn that switch on, but it's more like a dimmer switch. And so we find some that turn it on just a little, some that turn it on a little bit more, and some that turn on a little bit more. But we haven't found anything strong enough to actually cause reversal of aging or cause immortality. The thing is, though, there's telomere. So when you have a little bit of telomerase being produced inside of a cell, it's lengthening the telomeres at the same time that the telomeres are shortening through the processes that I discussed before. So now you have this kind of tug of war. You have shortening and lengthening going on at the same time. But the lengtheners, the telomerase, actually lengthening the telomeres, isn't as strong as the efforts to shorten the telomeres. And as a result, what ends up happening is that the rate of shortening just decreases. So that should still be a very significant advantage to health and slowing down the rate of telomere shortening, therefore slowing down the rate of aging and declining health by using some of these relatively weak, relative to what we want to see in the future, telomerase inducers.
But they eventually meet in the middle, so in the long run, it couldn't really extend life, right?
Yeah, right now we believe it will. We haven't been testing these things long enough, but we believe that it will extend health span and lifespan a little bit, just simply because the rate of the telomere shortening has slowed down a bit.
Well, now in the movie, in the documentary, The Immortalists, which you're in and that comes out very soon, is this other scientist, Aubrey de Grey, and quite controversial guy, and he says in the movie that the increase or adding this telomerase to the genes could actually cause cancer. How did he come up with that concept, and is this a real fear?
It used to be a real fear. It's definitely not a real fear now with most people. I kind of feel kind of responsible for creating this fear, because about 20 years ago, when we first discovered the enzyme telomerase, what we did is we put what's called the antisense of telomerase into cancer cells and showed that the cancer cells died. It was actually one of the best ways to kill cancer cells that we ever saw, and it actually had no effect on normal cells. So a lot of people just reached the conclusion that if inhibiting telomerase, which is what the antisense does, if inhibiting telomerase kills the cancer cells, then telomerase must be the cause of the cancer. But it's not. We've now know that it's quite exactly the opposite. We have found that short telomeres, actually, when I talked about that shoelace analogy, when the caps on your shoelaces get short, your shoelace starts to fall apart. The chromosomes do the same thing, and these cause tremendous numbers of mutations in your chromosomes, which actually end up causing the cancer. And so if you can keep your telomeres long, it's now known, if you keep your telomeres long, you can actually decrease the chances of getting those mutations and decrease the chances of getting cancer. Also, one of the major causes of cancer is a weakened immune system. I've heard doctors say we get cancer 7 times a day up to 1,000 times a day.
Wow.
But we never know it because our immune system is so effective at identifying these cancers and killing them. But
is that true? Do we all have a cancer cell inside of us?
But we apparently are having them all the time being created. I'm not an expert in that field. I just sometimes attend cancer conferences, and I've heard people say this, and I've asked them about this, and apparently we're made up of 100 trillion cells, and so the chances of one of them being mutated to become a cancer is pretty likely, but our immune system fights it, but when the telomeres in our immune cells get short, then we start suffering from immune senescence, and we lose the ability to fight the cancer. So increasing the length of our telomeres in our immune cells should help our bodies fight cancer. And kind of that's what we're seeing with correlation data. We're right now, hundreds of scientific publications have been published in scientifically peer-reviewed journals showing that there's a strong correlation between the onset of cancer and short telomeres. So the short telomeres is causing, keeping telomeres long should prevent cancer and also help you fight cancer.
What is a cancer cell? Is it just a normally functioning cell that loses part of its function and starts to replicate in that malformed?
Yeah, cancer is the lack of growth control. Okay, so I sometimes like to use the analogy of Pinocchio. Okay, so when we are developing as a child and stuff like that, our nose learns to stop growing at a certain place. This is growth control. There's signals inside of our cells communicating with one another to say, okay, you've reached the size you want to be, stop growing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's growth control. When you lose that growth control and the cells start growing anyway, that's cancer.
Okay, so it's growth control out of control.
Yes, and it's caused by like 10 to 12 at least mutations that you have to have inside your cells. And most of these mutations seem to accumulate all at once when your telomeres get short.
And they grow quite fast, and that's what's so hard to stop. Well, that's why you do chemo and all that, right?
Yeah, even if they grow slow, it's in fact, if they grow fast, it's actually easier to treat because chemo works, most chemos work by killing dividing cells. That's why your hair falls out and things like that. It's, and you get sick to your stomach because hair follicles and cells lining the gut, your intestines, are dividing also fast. And so those cells get killed at the same time that the cancer cells get killed. But a slow-growing cancer is going to be a little harder to kill because it's going to affect most of your cells then.
So if it's true that the longer the telomeres, the less the cause for, or the risk for cancer is, then you would want to find a way to lengthen the telomeres. Now, if you were to find something that actually does produce the telomerase and cause those telomeres to lengthen, would this be extremely expensive to be able to obtain? Would it be a prescription drug that almost anyone could obtain? What type of form would it be in?
Well, we don't know yet, but we hope it's just a pill that you swallow. It depends on whether it survives the stomach. And even if it doesn't survive the stomach, we would have medicinal chemists modify the chemical so that it did survive the stomach.
Mm-hmm. That's easier to do.
Yeah. And the question about the cost, I'll tell you, it probably would cost my company like 10 cents a dose to make the drug. And the most of the cost, when you buy a pharmaceutical drug, most of the stuff that you're paying for is all the advertising and marketing and the you know, different companies that are involved in helping, you know, put the product in the capsules and things like that. So a lot of the overhead costs and stuff like that are far more expensive than the actual chemical.
And what about the research and all of the millions of dollars that have gone into the research up to the point of finding the actual prescription? That's millions of dollars of overhead to the tune of, what, 40?
That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. The companies that actually did the research, they will get some type of royalty from the sales, and that actually contributes to the cost too. Now, I think when we come up with a drug that actually causes humans to start getting younger, there's not going to be any advertising needed.
No.
Sell itself. And so, you know, I'm hoping that this will be a very inexpensive drug that can be given to just about everybody.
Right, because it brings up the idea of, well, you can only live longer if you are rich, and then the rich people live longer, and then the poor people don't. And it becomes a very, so that's something that's brought up a lot in the movie, is the debate of why would somebody want to live forever? And you have this, I mean, wonderful idea of wanting to live healthily forever. And I stop at the word healthy because I'm not quite convinced yet at the forever part. What would it be if we had a population of people that did live forever? What would happen to this planet? What would happen to the environment? What would happen to our resources?
Well, first of all, let me say I don't believe the forever either. We're decreasing the possibility of getting sick and stuff like that, but we're not preventing people from getting run over by trucks,
right,
by lightning, right, like that. So there's still going to be death, and we're going to be decreasing the risk of cancer, but there's going to still be people getting cancer and heart disease and stuff like that, and dying. They're going to be infected by Ebola viruses and things like that. But let's take that theoretical case. The question I always ask is, let's imagine 200 years from now, and we have a world where people have been not aging and living forever, essentially, for the last 150 years, and suddenly we have some significant problems. And I'll come back to the problems in a second, but what would happen if suddenly somebody says, well, let's put on the ballot to vote against making this cure for aging available to people? What do you suppose would happen? I don't think people would actually vote in favor of that.
Right.
They're going to want to keep the cure for aging, and they're going to find some other solution. And humans have shown a quite great ability to adapt to any kind of thing. And I think the World Wide Web is like the best example of all. A big, major change in the world occurred, and look how easily we adapted to it.
Instantly, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so I don't think, but the problems that we have to worry about, I would say the biggest problem is if the old people never get sick and retire, and they always stay healthy and experienced and mature, how are the young people ever going to compete for jobs? And that's something that I see as a problem that's going to happen, because the older people are just going to dominate the world, and the new younger people entering the world, they're just going to have to be competing. It's going to be very tough to compete with these people because they're not getting older.
Because they have experience, and the experience would outweigh the youth. This is true, but there would maybe be more jobs that could be created, and our less resources would go towards healthcare if more people were healthy into later life. And this is such a great conversation, because I mean, if we had that many wise people on the planet, it would be such a different place, wouldn't it?
Yes. No, I think there's, I'd say that we need to worry about that, because that's one possibility, but I actually don't think it will happen. I also don't think that we're going to have an overpopulation problem either, because humans, in at least many populations, have figured out ways of slowing down their birth rate, let's say, to compensate when there gets overcrowding and stuff like that. But still, you know, anything's possible, and I think that the solution is to figure out a solution to those problems, and not figure out a way to prevent the cure for aging. But you know, I'm
cross that bridge when you come to it.
I'm glad that NASA's looking for other worlds out there that can support human life.
Right. So I was saying, because we would have to find some space on space in order to live, which is in process as well. But as is, you know, the whole biotechnology revolution, there's so much out there where it comes to nanotechnology and what we can do with it. I want to talk with you a little bit about that when we come back, of what is being created. There's stem cell research that's being done. There's limbs that are being grown. I mean, there is so much that's becoming available to the public that we have yet to explore. It's the new frontier in science that we also have to explore right here on this planet. So we're going to continue our conversation with Bill Randhuis when we come back. And this is Lisa Gore. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back.